Today is Easter Sunday. We know that. It's often called Resurrection Sunday. I said goodbye to somebody at the door this morning as they were heading out after the morning service. I said to him, goodbye, it's lovely to see you, and happy Resurrection Sunday. And he said to me, John, every day is a resurrection day. And he was right, wasn't he? He was right, because it's not just today that we need to be remembering Jesus is raised from the dead. Remembering the amazing act that God worked when he raised Jesus from the dead. When God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son raised God the Son from the dead and gave him life again, to prove that he had beaten death, to prove that his cross had worked, that his cross was victory, not defeat. Victory over Satan, victory over sin, victory over every rebellion against him. And he proved that his victory was true, final, and complete in every single way. And the amount of power, the amount of divine power used to raise Jesus from the dead is something we couldn't even begin to get our heads around. The infinite power of God doing an infinitely wonderful thing. We thought briefly earlier on this evening that we have the resurrection accounts that were eyewitnessed by people. These aren't just stories that somebody wrote down. They're not exaggerations that people thought would be a good idea for a bit of a literary foray into early first century fantasy fiction. No, these are historical accounts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know this because there are four different Gospels that talk about Jesus' resurrection, and they clearly don't copy each other. A little bit like if you had four witnesses to a minor road accident or something, and the police were wondering who to speak to, and you get four different people, and they describe exactly the same thing, but they saw it from different angles. So they explain it in not a contradictory way, but in a way that complements each other, with the heart of the action right at the center. Read through all four gospel accounts, and you see that that's exactly what's gone on there. That Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John write from slightly different perspectives, but about the very same central truth, and many other truths as well within that that are repeated across them, but from slightly different angles. This is not a made-up hoax. Secondly, the apostles and Paul, who was a later appointed apostle, and others too, were willing to go to their deaths because they were absolutely convinced that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now, we might think that back in the first century, it was normal for people to go to their deaths for a fiction they thought might be a fact. Well, it wasn't. People didn't do that kind of thing. These people were absolutely convinced that Jesus had risen from the dead. They were so convinced, they were willing to be arrested, willing to be tortured, and willing to be killed, or in John's case, life imprisoned, for believing this and speaking about it. More evidence that we have is the Apostle Paul himself. The Apostle Paul was somebody who initially wanted to round up Christians, have them jailed, have the key thrown away. And then Jesus appeared to him when he was famously on the road to Damascus. Why was he going to Damascus? In order to round up Christians there. And the risen Jesus appeared to him. And Paul was called Saul at the time, The risen Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul fell off his horse, fell to the ground, blinded, and said, "Who are ye?" And Jesus said, "I am Jesus, whom you persecute." And Paul, as he became known, was led to Damascus. A Christian found him, prayed for his vision to come back, and it did eventually. And then Paul began proclaiming the risen Christ. He was so convinced that what he'd seen was real, was true, and what he learned about Jesus matched absolutely with the other apostles. And eventually, Paul himself was imprisoned, and tradition has it that he was killed because of his faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We could leave this there in history, though, couldn't we, and think, well, that's a really interesting, amazing fact. Yes, it's true, we could think, and yet it's something that's 2,000 years away in history, almost 2,000 years away. What's that got to do with me here today, except to believe an interesting fact? And we could think it's true, couldn't we, and do nothing about it ourselves, not want to make any changes in our lives, the way we think and things like that, or forget, not even we might have made changes in our lives, we might have started following Jesus, but we might not quite have grasped yet the power of the resurrection in our own lives. And that's why we've got this reading from Ephesians before us today. The first 17 verses or thereabouts of Ephesians is Paul explaining to the Ephesians precisely what it is that God has done for them in the past, that he's chosen them out of spiritual death and brought them into spiritual life, that he's seated them at the right hand of God in the heavenly realms. And to prove this and to make this sure, he's given them the Holy Spirit as a down payment, a guarantee of the future certainty of them being raised from physical death to physical life once again, but with the perfect resurrection bodies, just like Jesus' perfect resurrection body. So verse 15. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Isn't that a wonderful thing? One of the apostles of God was praying for these Ephesian Christians who were a little bit scared. Ephesus was a cosmopolitan ancient city. And above it, on the hillside above it, they had this enormous temple to a false god, to Artemis. If you didn't follow Artemis, you were cancelled. You were not allowed to work. You possibly weren't allowed to own property, because the city authorities thought that it was Artemis who gave them prosperity. These Christians were scared. So verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Artemis, load of junk. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Saviour, with all the power in the world and beyond. And Paul tells us what he was praying. I pray that the eyes of your heart, so that's the way that you might see the world, the way that you might see spiritual truths. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know three things: the hope to which he's called you, that certain hope of future living with the Lord Jesus Christ in the new creation, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, the way in which all of these truths of uncertain hope are for all of God's people, all of those people who have actively put their trust in Jesus and are now guaranteed that place in heaven with him, as opposed to people who haven't actively put their trust in Jesus, who will be left out. And thirdly, and his incomparably great power, was incomparably, I never know how to say that one, his incomparably great power for us who believe. Did you spot that when I read it earlier on? That the incomparably great power that God has is for us who believe. Isn't that a glorious and wonderful truth to know? However you're feeling about facing the world, however you're feeling about navigating life, however you're feeling about being a Christian for the rest of your earthly life and then into all eternity, God's great power is for you. That is remarkable, isn't it? God's great power is for you. He is batting for you. He is holding you safe in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is keeping you in his kingdom. And he is working his power for you. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says something about this power. The second half of the verse. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Did you know that if you are a believing Christian, you have got and have had and will continue to have the power that raised Jesus from the dead working in your life? And of course, as Christians, our lives match that of Jesus in a sense, don't they? Because before we were Christians, we were spiritually dead. We were spiritual corpses. And God works his great power in us to raise us from that and give us new and eternal, everlasting, forever, never finishing life. There are a number of us here who haven't been Christians for very long, and I know a number of your stories that the last thing you expected was to be a Christian. That you thought this was for other people and was maybe slightly cloud cuckoo land stuff. But God got hold of you with his most amazing life-giving power. And he changed you about completely. He picked you up. He turned you round. He made you face the Lord Jesus instead of facing away from him. He made you to want to follow him, because suddenly you have a life which you didn't have before. A new spiritual life in him that he seemed to do in your life unlikely to you. The most unlikely thing. But that was because he used the same power in you that he used when he raised Jesus from the dead. Isn't that mind-blowing? For every one of us here who is a believing Christian, God has worked that same power in us to change our lives around and to give us that new life in him. What an amazing thing that is. And of course, he's seated us, spiritually speaking, with him. That's where Jesus is. Spiritually speaking, we are with Jesus. And God placed all things under Jesus' feet, verse 22, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This raised Jesus Christ isn't just a historical figure, isn't just God who is God the Son who is in heaven, those things are absolutely true. He is a historical figure. He is in heaven. He is also the head, the ruler of the church. And we are his body. You can't fail to notice how well a head is connected to the body. That is how much we are connected to Jesus. This is a living, real relationship with the raised Son of God. We are connected to him. He is connected to us. Not just St. Andrew's, Kirkkeller, and St. Luke's Willoughby, but the whole worldwide church, and the whole worldwide church throughout history, past and future. We are connected to him who is the head. That's how he's able to use so much power in us, isn't it? That's how he uses his power for us. We are connected to him. Did you know you are absolutely connected, intrinsically joined to Jesus? All Christians, believing Christians who trust Jesus, are in Christ. What is true of Jesus, what's happened to him, where he is now, is true of us, spiritually speaking. And when Jesus returns, which he absolutely will do, he said he would be killed on a cross. He said that he would be raised on the third day, and those things happen. And he said he would return again, and it will happen. When he returns, he will take us to be where he is, and our physical experience will catch up with our spiritual experience today. So the things that make this world obviously fallen, all the nasty stuff that happens within us, around us, out there, will be gone. There'll be none of that. And we will be with Jesus and be in a place that is exactly as it should be and will be forever. And he will make sure this happens because of that great power that he works within us and for us. So the resurrection, yes, it absolutely, totally, definitely happens. But it is so powerful in our lives now and in our lives for the whole of eternity that it rules everything. God rules everything through that resurrection. It is true. It happened. It makes an absolute world of a difference. Let me pray. Our Father, thank you for working that within us. Thank you that because Jesus is risen from the dead, so are we. Thank you that because Jesus is with you at your right hand, so will we be with you in that new creation one day. Thank you that because Jesus raised from the dead, we are absolutely safe with you for all eternity. And so, Father, we pray that this resurrection day will be the beginning of every resurrection day in our lives as we remember more and more and more the power of the resurrection within us and in our church. Amen.